Conan O'Brien says a new study claims people who don't exercise are more likely to be depressed, especially if they just lost the presidential election. Hey now, Conan O'Brien says, it's getting ugly. Mitch McConnell just demanded to see Joe Biden's birth certificate. Kimmel said the Bachelorette had a more peaceful transition of power than the presidency. Trevor Noah said Trump is the kind of captain who would have been taking job applications on the Titanic. So, Daniel, do you have any experience working on a sinking ship? Trevor, I mean, it must be so uncomfortable working in the White House right now because everyone around Trump knows he lost, but they've got to all go along with the lie. It's got to be exhausting, especially when you're already running a fever from COVID. Colbert talked about Trump's recent fundraising. I'll let him explain. He said, according to the website, at least half of each donation will go off to paying the campaign's debts. One last grift for the road before he finally leaves. Someone better check under the MAGA hat for the White House silverware. Here's how the scam works. If a donor gives $500, $200 would go to the RNC, while $300 will go to the president's newly formed Save America PAC. Not sure what Save America PAC is going to do with the money, but the president has a lot of debt, and their mailing address is grease-stained paper bag under park bench in DuPont Circle. Make sure you weren't followed, USA. Colbert adds there are perks for a donation of $2,800. You can join the First Family Circle and says, man, that's got to be tempting for Eric Trump. Trevor says, my man, Donald, jobless Trump, this guy never misses a hustle. I bet as we speak, he's ripping out the copper wiring from the White House walls. Trevor says, I guess we owe Donald Trump an apology because I honestly thought he could never change, but he has. The dude went from being an African dictator to a Nigerian prince. Bert Kreischer spoke to Laugh Button. He said, the first time I met Joe Rogan, I literally was like at his house and he was like, hey man, good to meet you. And I was like, listen, before we do the podcast, I need to see your sleep deprivation tank. I want to meet your dogs. I want to play some pool with you. I want to get high and then we can do this. And he was like, okay. But you know what? That's just who I am. I can't deny it. I wish I could be like Bill Burr who sits in the box with Rob Gronkowski and doesn't say anything. But when we talked about Gronk, this is the funniest thing Burr ever said to me. He was in a box and Gronkowski was there. Gronkowski is a Tampa Bay Buccaneer football player, best known for his time with the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and winning Super Bowls and stuff, just in case you don't know who Gronkowski is. So Bill Burr's there in a box with Gronkowski and he didn't say anything. And I was like, that's so effed up. You're the biggest Patriots fan. Why didn't you say something? And he goes, I'm not going to pull a Burt. Brian Regan spoke to Columbus Alive about doing new material. He said, when you first start doing comedy, it's thrilling, but you want to get laughs because you're brand new. So you work quickly towards developing your first 5 minutes of comedy and then your first 10 minutes. And then you want to get to 20 or so you can get out on the road as an opening act. When I got my first hour, I made the mistake of feeling comfortable with the laughs and I rode that material out for a few years, but then you lose that love of experimenting and eventually you see those ticket sales drop. And I realize, wait a second, it's because I haven't given people anything new. From Deadline, Amazon has added to its all-star lineup for Yearly Departed. This is a series of eulogies for the year 2020, where a lineup of all-women comedians will deliver everything from casual sex to beige band-aids and everything in between that we've lost in 2020. I'm guessing they're going to deliver jokes about casual sex, and they're not actually delivering casual sex, but I didn't write that original copy there. Some of the people involved are Tiffany Haddish and Sarah Silverman. Blair Soce was on Vulture's 20 Comics You Gotta Know list, and they said, when did you feel you were funny enough to make a legitimate go at comedy? Blair said, probably a few years in when I got to leave the computer coding job I lied to get because I got cast on an MTV show. What a relief, because I had no idea how to code, but my boss told me I had beautiful feet every day, so who played who, you know? They asked her to describe her comedy in 5 words. Those words are mischievous, feral, Looney Tunes, eating. If she weren't a comedian, what would she be doing? She'd either be a grizzled private detective or a Rubenesque model married to a Greek shipping heir. And what do we best know Blair Soce from? She says, I haven't the faintest clue of the thing I'm most known for. I have a 5-minute bit about Triscuits. Pop Sugar says when comedian Abby Clark creates funny videos for TikTok, she certainly goes all in. Is she the new Sarah Cooper? Asked Johnny Mac. Well, Abby Clark's series is called If Dogs Were Human. Chock full of hilarious moments in ranging from how pups react when they're caught drinking out of the toilet, despite having a perfectly good clean water bowl nearby, to how excited they get upon hearing humans utter the term walk. Her accuracy is astounding. So this isn't like pantomiming to Donald Trump. This is pantomiming to pets. Should I editorialize? No. Just take the commercial break and shut up. From the AV Club, in 2012, Patton Oswalt spoke to the AV Club, where he detailed an outrageous account of Wesley Snipes' alleged behavior on the set of a movie. During what Patton described as a troubled production, Oswalt claims that Snipes refused to leave his trailer, smoked weed a majority of the day, would only answer to the name Blade, and would only communicate with the director, who he also attempted to strangle via Post-it notes. Yeah, let's unpack all that. All right, Blade, and he attempted to strangle the director, allegedly. Okay. Patton later reiterated parts of the story on Pete Holmes' talk show. I forgot Pete Holmes had a talk show. I like Pete Holmes, too. It was a story that Oswald largely laughed off as an amusing anecdote, but one person is not entertained by it, and that person is Wesley Snipes. Wesley Snipes spoke to The Guardian, and he responded to the story for the first time recently. And he said, and I'm reading quotes here, "Let me tell you one thing. If I tried to strangle David Goyer," that's the director, "you probably wouldn't be talking to me now. A black guy with muscles strangling the director of a movie is going to jail, I guarantee you. Did I go to jail for strangling him? Never happened." Okay. Davy Club says, when asked about the on-set Post-it notes communique, all right, so now we know that Snipes was writing Post-it notes and not trying to strangle people with Post-it notes. Not that Snipes strangles people. I want to be clear. He definitely does not. Wesley Snipes offered a blanket denial of Oswald's story after questioning why people believe this guy's version of the story. Quoting Snipes again, "This is part of the challenges that we as African Americans face here in America. These microaggressions, the presumption that one white guy can make a statement and that statement stands as true. Why would people believe his version is true? Because they are predisposed to believing that the black guy is always the problem. And all it takes is one person, Mr. Oswalt, who I really don't know. I can barely remember him on the set, but it's fascinating that his statement alone was to make people go, yeah, you know, Snipes has got a problem. I remind you that I was one of the executive producers of the project. I had contractual director approval. I was not just the actor for hire. I had," and this is how they spell it out. They put, they wrote AU hyphen Thor hyphen I Thor T. So I guess instead of saying I had authority to say, he said, "I had authority," something like that. "I had authority to say, to dictate, to decide. This was a hard concept for a lot of people to wrap their heads around." Wesley Snipes, who does not strangle people, let me make that clear, never happened. He's part of Eddie Murphy's Coming to America. That'll be on Amazon Prime December 18th. And you know my new thing is I leave you depressed. Let me depress you again. Why not, Johnny Mac? That's why I come to the show called Daily Comedy News. So every day at the end of the show, you can tell a really depressing story. Why don't you tell us about Paul Rodriguez's house burning down? That'll make us all cheered up. Sure, I can do that from KMPH. Paul Rodriguez is going through tough financial times. Right now, he's nearly broke. He had bought a home for his parents. They've since passed. And last month, the house caught fire while his brother was home. There's a cellar that he opened up and the flame shot up. Less than a minute, the floor caved in and the whole house was ruined. Sadly, the home wasn't insured. Paul said, "I'm an accountant. I was in for 30 years. One day they said I was broke. I said, what happened to the bonds, the stocks? What happened?" They had no explanation. That sucks. Rodriguez also discovered he's 3 years behind paying his taxes. He's suing his accounting firm. There's a court date for August 2021. This article says Paul Rodriguez has been in nearly 40 movies. What's nearly 40? Is that like 37 movies? We're going to go to IMDb Paul Rodriguez in a second. Paul says, "I don't need anything. I'll survive. I'll come out of this. I really don't know because I'm kind of embarrassed because I feel foolish." He has a farm to fall back on and he owns 40 acres of lemons. That's his plan. He's going to go sell lemons. I like Paul Rodriguez. IMDb Paul Rodriguez. All right, let's go through this quick. From 1983, he was in a TV series called Gloria. He played Jerry. Oh, Gloria is the All in the Family spinoff. Who knew? He was in DC Cab. He played Xavier. He had his own show that I actually liked in 1984 called AKA Pablo. He played Hector Rodriguez in Quicksilver. He played Juan in Miracles. He was on Hardesty House. He played Barney Bear in The Whoopi Boys. He played Ponce de Leon in Tall Tales and Legends. He was in The Golden Girls in the episode called Vacation in 1986. He was on Not Necessarily the News, a pretty good HBO show we should talk about someday. He played Javier in Born in East L.A. He was on the TV series Trial and Error. He played Tony Rivera. He was in something called Grand Slam. He played Pedro Gomez. He was in Hi, Honey, I'm Dead as Ralph the Angel. He was Jacinto in King of the Hill. I'm skipping some of these. He may have been in 40 movies or 40 things anyway. He was in Crocodile Dundee in Los Angeles. He played Diego. He played Gus the Cabbie in Rat Race. He played Leon the Circus Lion in Dora the Explorer. He played Chico in Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I feel like they're not letting Paul Rodriguez stretch as an actor. I feel like they have him in a lane. In 2020, he was in Cholo Zombies as Dr. Black Mist. In 2021, it looks like he'll be in a film called Silent Life. He'll play Alexander de Somme. And in pre-production, Scream Before You Die, he'll play Captain Martinez. Also in pre-production, Way Out of Bounds, he'll play Coach Garcia. And a project called The Outlaw Johnny Black has been announced. He will play Pancho. Paul Rodriguez, everybody. That's your comedy news for today. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Follow on Spotify. Share the thing on social media. People need to know Paul Rodriguez IMDb. There's no other place you can get that information other than actually going to IMDb and typing in Paul Rodriguez. But, you know, promote the podcast. See ya.